the evening time all over this land. Look what I do. I'm the hammer out danger. Hammer out the warning.
There you are. This is the Kidder Report. That was a fresh edition of If I Had a Hammer. The Weavers made that a big hit. So I think we better address this issue of, let's say a marker, I guess, historical marker of the speech at Davos by Mark Carney. We know it must be historic because the Globe and Mail has printed the entire, they made a whole page, the entire speech, and that's rare. By the way, on the Taylor Report, we've talked about this subject. I really think this ought to be common practice of media that pretend to or claim to provide us with information and things we need to know. And actually, we need more text. We need the entire speeches. I mean, for example, if there are good talks by party leaders in Parliament, Canadian people ought to be able to see it and read it. In the time of Abraham Lincoln, it was common practice to, when a major figure, well, any figure actually, trying to present a new perspective on the crises that their country was facing, the speech would be available. You might call it lazy journalism, but it was actually very good. I mean, think of where we are now compared. There was a famous debate between Senator Douglas and this young congressman, former congressman Abraham Lincoln, and they debated, I think, 6 or 7 times. I'm not exactly sure. It might have been more, actually. But they were reported verbatim, and there is a collection, you can read them, but that kind of thing is not available anymore. People feel that we've advanced, but actually the ability to be able to follow and to be able to look at the text and, you might say, interrogate it as you go, that's missing. And so, good for them. They made this speech available. I wish they would make all the speeches at Davos, because Davos is somehow the new Olympus, political Olympus, where the billionaires and corporate giants and their minions, called politicians, meet on the top of a white mountain and speak English to each other and talk about how to arrange the world. We are, for our own defense, we ought to have everything they say available to us. Thanks to Carney going there, thanks to Carney giving a speech that many people took their hats off to. I found myself looking closely at Davos itself, at the World Economic Forum, and it was very enlightening, I have to say. But let's start here with what Carney had to say. He posed, to my mind, a troubling and mistaken thesis, which sounds attractive, but if you scrutinize it, there's a bunch of problems. Carney says that we've been living a lie, and he takes his little text about the living a lie of believing things that weren't true, and that is the rules-based international order. And if you believed in that, definitely you were living a lie. And he says that actually it's turning into a world, and I doubt that anybody would take exception to this, but that of major powers and of a kind of right, might makes right. However, that's a false picture. He says that we are caught, Canada is caught between hegemons. And incidentally, he said as tough a speech as, in some sense, as it was, as it's been described, he was very careful about not mentioning names or being very explicit what he's talking about. He just says hegemons, and he said, you know, Canada's caught and has to make its own way. And he says we have to be truthful and we have to be realist, and that we're going to do that. He said that Canada will be principled and pragmatic. Of course, what he means, let me translate, principled and pragmatic means that you're not going to be principled. You're going to be pragmatic. So it's not quite as heroic as it sounds. But it is not true that we're between hegemons. Russia has not threatened to take Canada over. It's never suggested it, never hinted at it, never, it's not, this is absurd, it's not interested. It understands Canada is where it is, but whether you're talking about the Soviet Union or Russia, there hasn't been a problem with them since Russia sold Alaska to the Americans. And the only reason they sold Alaska to the Americans is that they didn't want British imperialism at their gate. And so they made sure that the Americans would block British, the growing British Empire. But that was a long time ago. Let's bring it to now, to modern history. They were founders of the United Nations. It was through the Soviets and others that it was agreed that the states of the world would be equal, and that they would there would be mutual respect, and there'd be a charter by which countries would operate. That's a very highly principled document. Yes, I understand that there is problems, but that's why it's there. It's an imperfect institution, but if you go out the back door, there's nothing but the jungle. And in this case, saying hegemons that Canada is between is not accurate. The United States blatantly and clearly and explicitly, we're in the explicit period of U.S. imperialism now. There's no kidding around about it. They say we're the power and we do what we want, and others will have to go along. And so you would think, well, okay, then the prime minister is saying we're going to go along. However, the United States is and remains the main power that makes NATO go. And NATO was discussed loudly and clearly and explicitly at Davos, and the prime minister did not deal with what they were saying there. But put it in the form of a question, if we're between, in the middle, if we're a middle power, I would put, model describes it better than middle, but if we're the middle power, and if we're in between, then why is Canada marching toward the Russian border? Why did he emphasize in his speech that we have boots on the ground in the Baltics? And why are we expanding the military and with the goal of hundreds of thousands, or I think I heard the figure 300,000. So we seem to be aimed at one of the, what he would call the hegemons, that would be Russia. But then how could we be in the middle? It's frankly absurd. And then describing the Canadian position, he said that we are like, he took his lead on that this new posture of Canada based on the Finnish leader, Alexander Stubb. So, Alexander Stubb was at Davos. By the way, he laughed when he heard about the, you know, being complimented by Prime Minister Carney. Stubb said, "Well, that's my biggest accomplishment." They all chided him about how he had been able to influence the Prime Minister. There was a lot of kidding there. By the way, Mark Root, who's the Secretary General of NATO, praised the Prime Minister, and he said, "Canada has finally stepped up. They're getting with it." And he said to his fellow panel members, he said, "Thanks to Donald Trump, all NATO members now in Europe are doing what they were supposed to do." He also named Joe Biden as a failure. This is really quite a remarkable moment, actually. The Secretary General of NATO is choosing which American president he likes. He said Joe Biden would never have done this. He said, "Thanks to Donald Trump, Canada went from 1.5 to saying that they would make 2, and then he said, in 1 year, now it's going to be 5% of the gross national product to go into the creation of a fighting force, and what fighting force? The one that is on the Russian border." And the Finnish leader, Alexander Stubb, was in a panel with Rutt, and remember, this is Mr. Stubb. This is the model. This is the man complimented by Carney, who's allegedly cutting a new course. You know, and the new course is that we're addressing Washington, you would say, is we are more NATO than thou. We're going to do our fighting mission. We're going to be in readiness. Not to fight you, Mr. Trump, please, no. We're going to be out there on the front line facing Russia. And somehow this is regarded as, well, now we're really independent. Well, actually, we're much more dependent in a very scary way. Just to go back to Alexander Stubb, he was asked by, they had a moderator who questioned all the white big shots. All of these guys, by the way, speaking English is so remarkable. They're not even a trace of an accent. These guys have really know which team they play for. And so the matter came up, and the interlocutor said, are you ready to stand, could you deal with Russia on your own? That was the question. And Alexander Stubbs said, oh, yes, indeed. We now have, I forget the size of the army, but it is a growing army with a massive reserve. And he says, we have U.S. guns, we have U.S. ammunition, we have U.S. fighter planes, and we have U.S. missiles. And we're ready. And again, this is the Western flank. This is the Baltic Eight. And Canada, frankly, is a member of the Baltic Eight, just an unnamed. Maybe they'll make them Canada an honorary member. And then Rutte praised Canada again for its commitment to Ukraine, because they say, well, the negotiations may or may not. Rutte's in a bit of a problem because he knows that Trump is up to something, but he's not sure what. But he knows that the main thing is to say, "Aye, yes, sir." And in the meantime, quadruple the assistance to Ukraine. And also in that panel was the president of Poland, and he was asked about, can you fight Russia on your own with, now that you're doing as Trump wishes, are you going to be able to fight and deal with the Russians? And the Polish president said, yes, we can beat them. We've already beaten them. We've beaten them before. By the way, I'm not quite sure what he's alluding to, but at any rate, so he was bouncing around in his chair, happy to say that. Strange enough, he also said, Japan beat Russia. I think he's referring to the 1903 confrontation, with the naval confrontation, which was a defeat for the Russian Empire of the day. I assume that's what he's talking about. I don't know if it may be daydreaming about Manchuria, but we're talking about, these are the people that Carney is now cheek by jowl with, while talking about being in the middle. He's not in the middle of anything. He's in the middle of a NATO operation. And if they'd, something I've talked about on the Taylor Report, and should be noted regularly, is that the U.S. pattern of behavior when it comes to truly major conflicts in Europe is not to be at the front. It's a practice. Look at World War One and look at World War Two. Its practice is to move to the rear. Oddly, in another context, President Obama said we have to lead from the rear. In other words, let the, our acolytes and supporters or vassals, whoever, let them do carry the burden of massacre and loss and territory and life. Let them do that, and then, but we'll direct it. In the case of Europe, U.S. history points to the policy of making sure that others do the fighting. That's why we have this widely used expression, fight to the last Ukrainian. The Americans would be quite pleased if that, too. When I say American leadership, Biden and Trump and all the others, one big Bush and little Bush, is to arm those who will confront Russia. And if it becomes very heavy, let them do the fighting. And then in the case of World War One, America became that was its inauguration as a superpower. They picked up the winnings after horrendous loss of life all across Europe. And the same situation is happened also after World War II. They got even richer. If you notice, and now back to the other panelist in Davos, Rutte, he interrupted the discussion of whether or not Europe was ready. He had the, by the way, he referred to the Prime Minister of Poland, of Finland, he referred to him as Alex, and then corrected himself and said, Prime Minister Stubb. But he said, we really shouldn't talk about this as though the U.S. is, that we're going to be doing this alone. We're not. He said, because, thank goodness, we have Donald Trump, he says, we are now taking on the responsibility we were supposed to take on. And we are now building our armies and preparing. And then he said directly to the leader of Finland, you're not doing enough, by the way. He says, you're doing a lot of great things, but you're not doing enough. He said, thanks to Trump, we have, I remind you, we have, they have 80,000 American troops in Europe. He says, they haven't gone anywhere. He said, the 80,000 troops are here. And he says, they have made available to us the weapons. And so they're carrying the load, despite everybody's thinking that Trump has departed and all that. He said, and let's remember, by the way, underneath this, Trump sells those weapons. He's in the weapon business. His reasoning is, why should I be there and paying for them? You pay for them. And so if you want to defend Ukraine, good for you. You buy them from me, and then you use them, and Russia can't blame me as being the one who's doing it. You're doing it, and I'm going to give you, if you want to buy the weapons, I'll sell them to you. I mean, it's that cold, very cold-blooded. So I go back to this notion that we're between. No, we're not. The Carney position is... I'm very troubled by Donald Trump, but I'm going to go and put my boots on the ground in the Baltics. And we're going to increase and stay with Mr. Zelensky. So that isn't being in the middle. That's a false picture. Now, there's other... twist to this, and the most important, he said, Carney and others have said that we're living a lie and that we're not really a rules-based order. Well, we're Canada's a member of NATO, and NATO is a lie. There was never a need for NATO, never. That was NATO was developed as a military, U.S.-led military structure to menace the Soviet Union and others in East Europe. Their very famous speech kind of defines it, and it's been referred to. I notice it's dropped out of time now, but it's at one time people used the expression over and over, and it was called the Iron Curtain speech, given by Churchill. And it was in Missouri, and he was encouraging the United States to take an aggressive, hostile policy towards the Soviet Union. And he said, an Iron Curtain has been drawn across Europe. And he argued from that, behind that curtain was the Soviet Union and its and other states who were, had taken the road to socialism. And he gave the speech, a key point in the speech from my point of view, from my reading of it, key point in the speech was Churchill said, there should be an anti-communist front to stop the spread of communism. And it should be led by the, it should become, he said, an Anglo-American empire. He used the word empire, actually, Anglo-American, as a bulwark to deal with the Soviets and others who would dare to take the path of socialism. Well, if you think about it, if a curtain has been drawn, a curtain is not an aggressive picture. A curtain says, stay out, which would mean do not meddle in our affairs. It's not a weapon. A curtain is a defense. Even if I were to accept Churchill's view of it, the language doesn't add up. But they had decided to form NATO, which was became, I would call it, a cancer on the United Nations, working continually in parallel outside to try to establish the U.S. order and a U.S.-British order. Of course, Churchill found himself slowly slipping to the rear himself. He was sidelined. British imperialism became number two, a rather embarrassing role for somebody who calls themselves great, as Lavrov says, the Great Britain. Lavrov has suggested they stop saying great because it's an insult to others. but they they found themselves, well, lastly on that point, Churchill did say, while pushing this idea of an aggressive military-based posture, aggressive posture towards the Soviet Union, at the same time he was saying to the UN and to others, he, Churchill, said, I will not preside over the destruction of the British Empire. So I guess he stepped aside and somebody did preside over it because they found themselves challenged and they couldn't beat off the challenge. They remember, British imperialism at the end of World War II was a mighty force in Africa, and they didn't go quietly. They killed a lot of people, particularly, you can just look into the story of Kenya. But this has been their practice. And by the way, what was their problem? People of the colonial world, with the assistance, political assistance, particularly at the United Nations, insisted on decolonization and had to go through bloody struggles to achieve it. And the former colonial world, which I guess we call the developing world, still feels very much in debt to the Soviets, which now has been transferred into the Russians, because the Russians to this day have good relations in Africa because they weren't part of the colonization and they also opposed it. So the Carney picture of the world is a false one, and Canada remains it's locked in to NORAD, NATO, and it's carrying out the mission, and they can whine and moan, and they do, and they grouse about Trump speaking so explicitly about who they actually are, but I notice they go to work every day and carry out the mission, and Trump smiles and lets them go ahead. But for us, Canadian people, this is really dangerous because it's like this moment we're living in since Carney decided rightly to go to China and to see if he could do some business. And it isn't much business. It's 48,000 Chinese electrical vehicles, but it's enough to bring down the wrath of Trump. And I don't hear the Democrats complaining, by the way, on that policy. But now he's being told that there's going to be a 100% tariff, etc. You'd think that, the problem is there's a price for not obeying. And at the moment, of course, this is Monday, probably Trump will have to, and I should probably check my watch. You never know what Trump will say within the next 20, 30 minutes. But the 100% tariff is going to rattle the walls, frankly. And I'm quoting actually from Carney's speech, to get along, you better go along. So is he going to go along? Well, yes, he is. They're also, U.S. has announced that they're they've told Carney that if you don't buy the American fighter aircraft, there'll be a little shakeup from the arrangements of NORAD, which is basically saying we're going to dump you. And I think we have to realize that if we remain with the NATO plan, Canada's stuck. And so moving beyond that point about NATO is a lie. It was founded on a lie. There was no plan coming from Russia to do anything about Canada. It doesn't dispute Canada's sovereignty, doesn't intend to take anything from Canada, neither does China. All these things are just cockeyed lies, and we don't have a media with guts enough to face it, because what? Well, it's a monopoly control media, which is all at Davos. Incidentally, the New York Times said about the Davos meeting, despite all the chatter and talk about Greenland, which, by the way, is disputed because he's already got a deal, so we should all take our hats off, say, see, he made a lot of noise, and he got, apparently, what he wants. But at any rate, the New York Times summary of the Davos meeting, they said, despite that, the smirks and the odd remark, actually, the Davos people, those who organized that World Economic Forum, liked Trump. As a matter of fact, and I find this really remarkable, the Times correspondent who's been there he says he's covered 12 of the meetings, he said it was a coup. The Davos people considered it a coup that they got Trump to come to the meeting, and we all witnessed as he generously urinated on everybody. They were still glad because that guy is delivering the goods. Corporations, their stocks are going up. There's nothing, a little war talk is not bad for business. It's only bad for people who work. Oh, by the way, the people who work, the third estater, what's going to happen to them? Well, there's a place for them. It's on the Russian front, where it's always been. And guess who's going to pay the price? They're going to pay the price. While the cost of living goes up, while their wages are go down, and the unions are undermined and destroyed, they will be conscriptable if necessary, as Mackenzie King said. Okay. Conscription is necessary, but not necessarily conscription, which is to say We are standing on guard and for the U.S., and we're waiting to find out. And the question is, how do you get out of that? And frankly, I don't hear anything special coming from anybody on this issue. Facing the issue, for example, do any of the political parties, are they ready to say that this Ukraine adventure that started in 2014 and Maidan, are they ready to say that that was a dumb idea and it was driven by aggressive Western imperialism? Are they going to say that? Are they prepared to say Taiwan belongs to China and we're going to, part of our new middle power game, or we're going to make that very clear, and we're not going to be sailing our warships between China and the mainland? Are they big enough and strong enough and proud enough and Canadian enough to do that? Are they going to say you can't take Venezuela's oil? Are they going to say you can't bomb a country that is a member of the United Nations and sovereign, that is the Islamic Republic? Are they going to say that's wrong, that's bad, or are they going to do the same old thing? Oh, we don't like dictators, while associating in bed with dictators and bullies and every kind of character. I think that's a big question that people, that we all have to face, is are we actually going to be telling the truth? As the Prime Minister says, we're going to be realists, and we're going to tell the truth, and we're going to be principled. I frankly know, because the commitment to the kind of the Baltic 8 strategy is in place, and boots on the ground. If you're going to have 300,000 Canadian soldiers now, and this is envisioned, and we're going to protect ourselves, guess who they say they're protecting themselves from? Well, Russia. They say in the Arctic, Russia. Baloney. The U.S. is going to control the Arctic, and then we're going to say, that's good. That's fine. Meanwhile, it's not Canadian Arctic. It's going to be the U.S. And we are afraid to say anything about the false picture that all the Russians and the Chinese want to take it. If you want to know who we are, read Mr. Rutt. He is the head of NATO, and he is a Donald Trump fanboy. And he actually talks to, I noticed, that was a striking thing. I urge all listeners to the Tato Report, CIT. I'll go ahead, 89.5 FM in Toronto. You have a look at it, that because Davos is a revelation of, if you can, you can just go to each one. Take a look at what the Prime Minister of Finland is saying, and remember that it was him. It's him that we're supposed to be following. He's a good example. So see if you have a, if you like that. Remember that Finland was once neutral. Now, by the way, I would say neutrality is in the middle. And to clear and clean up Carney's generalizations and kind of soft, it's more smoke and probably less mirrors, mainly smoke. But Finland was a neutral country, but with the New World Order, and all the phony hysterics about Ukraine, Finland became first a part of the European Union and then NATO, and now it's bragging that it can beat the Russians. And I would tell you that if you want to read the history books, that's exactly what they said in the late 1930s. They were ready to go, and they, together with the Nazis, attacked and tried to capture Leningrad. The Finns were there, and they seemed all souped up in terms of their leadership to do it again. And There is not a word of doubt from Prime Minister Carney. Not a word. He's going to be there with him, and all based on a lie. There's absolutely no reason and no necessity for this. And I may as well point out the other couple of worrying things. I think we're about near the time. I'll probably hear a little music to tell me that it's time. But the name Havel was brought up, and somehow this is supposed to inspire us all. Well, Havel was a Ronald Reagan poster boy. He was our great figure in the East that we're all supposed to admire, because he was going to help us break down the Soviet system, which he did. He's a literary mediocrity. He's not anything more than a champion of capitalism, and which is the magic word at Davos. It's not the magic word, by the way, at the United Nations, but it's the magic word at Davos and at they call it the World Economic Forum. Havel was brought to the United States to mock the American left. I remember they had a meeting where Harry Belafonte had to say nice things to him. And Harry Belafonte went through agony trying to remind everybody that they're still colonized, and people's trying to develop in Africa and Asia, and that we can't put them aside just because we now have a new world order. And Havel was that part of that game. He was the poster guy for, we got to expand NATO to the East. And they did, and they did, and they did, until they bumped into Iraq, because they finally got actually to the border. And now they've been told, I guess there's an iron curtain here. You better not keep pushing. So we're in a dangerous, very dangerous world, and the prime minister has a false story. He's very much a NATO soldier, carrying the gun, being ready, and he doesn't like the boss, but he'll do as the boss is telling him. And I don't see any political difference over that. People are talking about, well, maybe we are not going to be part of the Gaza game. But not that the prime minister, it really doesn't matter whether they're part of the Gaza game or not. It's obvious that what's happening there is that Gaza is now going to be part of the American system. Maybe Israel would get cut out of this. It could be that, you know, Trump wants it for himself. But the theme of NATO, the theme of Russophobia and Sinophobia, which is not going to wave. Everybody's going to adjust themselves a little bit, but we have a parliament that accuses China of genocide, so they better learn to talk out of the other side of their mouth if they want to have any chance of an economic positive relationship with the People's Republic of China. There is where the jolt will come, is people pulling their little signs down and putting up new signs. Frankly, I don't think they've got guts enough to do it. Instead, I think they will stay with the classic Cold War pattern, because the pattern of anti-communism, which is the core of the intellectual portion of our political outlook, it is very deep. And now you have, for example, the Premier of Ontario saying we can't have Chinese cars, but they might spy on us, which really reflects how deep in our DNA is craziness and witchcraft and strange notions. We don't operate by reason or evidence. We simply go back to our ancient prejudices. And so this has all been about, should we have a new, a phony new outlook, which really just keeps us in NATO, keeps us baiting Russians, keeps us baiting Chinese, and developing countries, or are we going to actually think rationally and say, let us live by the UN Charter, which calls for respect for sovereignty, right to self-determination, non-interference in internal affairs of other states. NATO is designed to interfere in other people's states. I think I've got the sign.
This program is sponsored by A Different Book List, located at 779 Bathurst Street. For more information, visit www.adifferentbooklist.com.